Your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. And boy, it's pretty nice out there all of a sudden after a soggy start. I don't know what time you got up this morning, but if you got up early, you know that it was wet. In fact, it was pouring down rain whenever I got to work here this morning. But the rain's tapered off generally by about 8 o'clock or so. And the skies began to brighten, and we got lots of sunshine right now. And gosh, it's almost up to 80 degrees. Very nice. Another beautiful day coming tomorrow, too, so enjoy. Later on the program today, we're going to be talking with Jane Frazier. She is the president of the Stuttering Foundation of America, which is an organization dedicated to research and helping people who have a stuttering disorder. So we'll talk to her. There's been some new research and a new study that's out recently about the causes of stuttering. So we'll talk to Jane about that. Should be interesting conversation. That's later on the program. On the first segment of It's Your Turn today, we talk with Matt McCune, who is the current president of the Butler Downtown Organization. Still president, right, Matt?
That's correct.
Yeah? Well, nice to see you again. Nice to have you here.
Great to be here as always, Dave. Thanks for having me.
We are sadly nearing the end of summer. Officially, fall doesn't start until late September. I don't know, September 21st.
21st, that's right.
Something like that. But unofficially, Labor Day weekend kind of wraps it up.
Yeah. You know, hard to believe it's right around the corner.
Yeah. But activities sponsored by the Butler Downtown Organization continue. In fact, no sooner do we finish with Labor Day, we start making holiday plans for the holiday season. But perhaps more importantly for this time of year, we are really in the peak harvest season, are we not?
Yes.
For local produce and so on.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. The weather finally cooperating for the farmers, too.
And that means some good local produce at the Butler City Farmers Market.
Yes. Yeah. 8 to 1 p.m. on Saturdays, the Butler City Farm Market. I know we've talked about it quite a bit before, but they're right in their wheelhouse of having peak season for produce and other goods. It's not just locally grown produce. I mean, it's locally produced things. So they have meats, baked goods, fudge, ice cream, cheese, bread, eggs, honey, flowers. They also have, I guess the gyros down there, if you're into that, are delicious.
That's an interesting subject. Yeah. The name, you know, for some people they call it subs.
Yeah.
Submarine sandwiches. Others call it hoagies.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a Philadelphia term that is spread into Western Pennsylvania, and then gyros.
Yeah.
A lot of people refer to them as gyros, but that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, then and oddly enough, they do have vodka there too. It's locally produced. So
vodka and a gyro. Now we're talking.
There we go. So if you really want to dive into that, but so it's not just produce, but they do have on the produce side of things. Fresh picked corn, I guess that goes pretty quickly this time of year. There's nothing like a fresh ear of corn
right out of the garden, right out of the field.
But apparently that goes fast. So anybody listening who plans to go on Saturday, try to get there as early as possible if you're looking to get some fresh picked corn, because I guess that flies off the tables.
So the Butler City Farmers Market opens at 8 a.m. on Saturdays?
Yes, 8 a.m. Down there on near Chestnut Street, right across from Rotary Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's heading into the west end of the city, but it's just three blocks down the street from Main Street.
So. That's right.
And it's operated kind of under the umbrella of Butler Downtown for a while. If you've never been there, it's pretty neat. And you don't have to worry about inclement weather either, because they have the opportunity to close all those big garage doors if it happens to be chilly or wet, which it is not expected to be, by the way, this coming Saturday, and the forecast is good, but don't worry about the weather. 8 a.m. until
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock?
Yep.
Saturdays, probably through the end of September anyway, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think it was scheduled to go on through October, but I think that really depends on the vendors and the farmers, mm-hmm. what they have available, what they'll be able to sell. So, but as of right now, through the end of October, there should be somebody down there.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I mean, produce is important, but other things local honey is a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Tastes different than the kind you get in a jar.
It sure does.
At the supermarket or whatever. And you said eggs and meats even? Yeah.
Yes. Ice cream, cheese, bread, flours, and baked goods. And the one on my list here I have is fudge, which I don't have a big sweet tooth, but I do like fresh fudge. Mm-hmm. Every time I go up to, I know the Grove City outlets, there is the fudge place. I always make sure to walk in. They're like, do you want to try something? Sure. How about that one?
Well, you can enjoy all this at the Butler City Farmers Market, Chestnut Street, Saturday mornings. That's the only time it's open. Saturday from 8 a.m. until to 1 p.m. And it's a bustling place. It kind of reminds me of most towns in Europe, large or small. Whether we're talking the British Isles or on the continent, they have outdoor markets for this sort of thing. It's very common. I've been in many European towns where it's right in the town square, right in the heart of things.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice to have it here. It's a fun place to be, even if you're just browsing.
Sure, and this particular Saturday is actually going to be a happening place. Not only for adults who, want to buy some locally, produced goods, but also this will be Kids Day. So this Saturday, August 31st, again from 8 to 1, same deal. It'll be Kids Day. The city firefighters and police will be there to interact with kids and the patrons of the farm market. For the kiddos, there will be free balloons and cookies available, and also a coloring contest. So if you have kids and you're looking for something to do on Saturday and you also just happen to want some fresh corn or what have you, the farm market's the place to be.
Can you remember coloring when you were a kid, Matt?
Of course. I was terrible at it, but I tried.
One of the I don't have a whole lot of vivid memories of early childhood, but one I do have is coloring with my great-grandfather, who was still alive. It's pretty rare to have a great-grandfather that you can remember. And he was up in years, of course, and I can remember this vividly. He colored everything orange. It didn't matter what it was. Whether it was a person or an apple or a building or whatever.
Was it crayon, coloring pencil?
Crayon, and everything was orange. Very neatly done, but it was all orange. God bless him. God rest his soul. So anyway, I'm sorry, a little parenthetical
That's
there,
right.
But coloring for the kids.
Huh? Yes, coloring for the kids. And then for the adults, there actually will be a cooking demonstration this week from Justine Brown. Justine is a health and wellness volunteer, and she does that through the Penn State Extension office, which is up by Sunnyview.
I know Justine. Do you know Justine?
I don't, not personally. No.
Wonderful, wonderful person.
All right.
And extremely knowledgeable. She's also a master gardener.
So really? Okay.
That kind of goes hand in hand with being a good cook, I think.
Yeah. Well, she will. Sounds like a wealth of knowledge, not only in the cooking realm, but she probably could tell you what to do with some of that locally grown produce that you can find down there at the farm market.
Indeed.
There will be live music down there, too, from Brian Cease. He'll be playing live music
That's this Saturday.
That's this Saturday.
It's a happening place. Yeah. It's a buzzing place to be.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's everything that's on the docket. That's the lawyer in me speaking for this week down at the farm market. But I do want to let anybody who's listening know who may have been at the farm market this year, last year, Ron the Potato Guy, who I guess has got a lot of questions about. He will be back starting September 7th. So he has a bunch of locally grown potatoes and all different kinds, too. So he'll be back.
You got me on that. I've not heard of Ron the Potato Guy before.
Apparently. Bob Dandoy, who runs the farm market for Butler downtown, made sure to tell me, make sure that you let everybody know that Ron the Potato Guy will be back. And I said, I'll do that, Bob, no problem.
Kind of intrigues me. I'd like to see him and hear him.
Yeah. Quite frankly, that's exactly what I thought when Bob told me. I'm like, I like potatoes. Maybe the 7th I'll make it a point to head down there, see what he's got.
A little bit of information on different kinds of potatoes.
Yeah. Hopefully he has purple potatoes. Those are delicious. Have you ever had those before?
I have not.
They're pretty good.
I'm pretty much a red potato and a baking potato guy.
Yeah. Expand your horizons, Dave. Try the purple potatoes.
Well, there's sweet potatoes. They're becoming more and more popular. I know of some restaurants now that offer baked sweet potatoes as a menu option. So anyway, when's he going to be there?
He will be back starting September 7th, so that will be a week from this next Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Lots of good stuff happening at the Butler City Farmers Market Saturdays through October, weather permitting, but some big stuff happening this Saturday. We're chatting with Matt McCune. Matt is president of the Butler Downtown Organization. He's also an attorney with Conlon Tarker, a local law firm here in Butler, and he's president this year of Butler Downtown. We'll take a break and come back with more on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR in a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Hey, all the folks at St. Vincent de Paul would like to take a moment and just pass on a big thank you to so many people and organizations who were involved in the 4-H and FFA Junior Livestock sale a couple of weeks back at the farm show back in early August. Once again this year, there were a number of people and a number of organizations and companies who were the high bidders for various animals that the 4-H'ers were auctioning off. And then they turned around and donated the meat once it had been processed to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. Very generous offers and, obviously very, very much appreciated by the needy families who rely on the food bank at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. So from all of the folks there, a big tip of the cap and a huge thank you for your generosity once again this year. The Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler, they run a food bank, they run a thrift store in the Greater Butler Mart, Route 8 South. They also have a wonderful client aid program for the needy. We stand at tallest when we stoop to help others. That's what they like to say at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. We'll be right back.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
It's the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. A couple of program notes coming up tomorrow. One of our guests will be Jim Diamond. We're going to be getting an update on a program that Jim and some other former employees of Pullman Standard here in Butler have been organizing and spearheading for the past several months, past year. So they want to make sure that the story of Pullman and what it meant to Butler will not be forgotten. It's, 30 years now since Pullman suddenly closed down, and there are a few traces of it left. We got the office building, and that's about it. But anyway, we'll get an update from Jim tomorrow on their plans. I understand they're going to try to do some like historical banners. I think they've changed that project. We'll get an update from them tomorrow. And interesting, especially for people who didn't live in Butler or maybe weren't even around back in the heyday of Pullman. The number of railroad cars they turned out every day was phenomenal. They used 1,800 gallons of paint every day.
Wow.
Just to paint the new railroad cars they were building. Anyway, Jim will be here tomorrow. And coming up on the Friday edition of It's Your Turn, among our guests will be Linda Schmidtmeyer. And we'll get an update on the Family to Family program that operates under the National Alliance of Mental Illness, NAMI. So Linda will be here on Friday. Matt McCune is with us right now. Matt is the current president of the organization, Butler Downtown. An update on a couple of things that happened that were not under the auspices of Butler Downtown, but I'm sure nonetheless the folks involved in your organization were pleased to see all the people in downtown over this past weekend with the Butler Italian Festival.
Absolutely.
Had beautiful weather and brought a heck of a lot of people downtown.
That's what I hear. Like I said, Dave, I was on vacation last week, so I didn't get an opportunity to go. But from everything that I've heard, it was a successful event. And certainly not only for the vendors who came in, but for the businesses who are already there. They certainly welcome events like that because the more foot traffic, the more, the better it is for business. Especially the eateries around town. I know that they rely on days like that significantly throughout the year. So it's good. I'm glad to see that it was another successful year for that.
I was amazed at how quickly they were able to clean up. I came through town on my way to work on Monday morning. You know, the Italian Festival went up until early evening on Sunday.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a big Ferris wheel downtown and all kind of food trucks everywhere. I came through town Monday morning shortly after 5 a.m. Not a trace. Everything was gone. The Ferris wheel was gone. All the food trucks were gone. It was like they'd never been there.
That's good.
Almost like a mirage. Anyway, that was a big deal for downtown. Other things are happening, and again, it's not under the auspices of the Butler Downtown organization, but work continues on the new street lamp poles. I'm sure anybody who's gone through downtown over the past couple of months has noticed that. They're going to be putting in new light poles. And it appears to me that many of the... I'm a great sidewalk superintendent, man. Watch what's going on. They were digging troughs because the wires for these new street lights are going to be underground instead of strung overhead. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a beautification project as well. And it looked like they were pouring cement to make the concrete basis for the new streetlights that are going to be going in. One side of the street appears to be pretty much done.
Yeah, I actually just noticed that as I was on my way over here, because they were working on the area recently, within the last couple of weeks, right out in front of the courthouse, catty-cornered from my office. So I got a good look at it, and I noticed those concrete cylinders, I guess would you call it,
that
the pole will go on. I noticed that those are ready to go. There was a cone on the one that I noticed.
They pour those and let them cure, and then that becomes the base for the new. I understand that I forget who I was talking to. One of the members of city council, I guess. And, you know, the poles and the lights, I guess, are in. There's a lot of preparation work that has to be done.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they'll be able to do that this fall or whether it'll be finished up next spring. But the point is, it'll make a difference downtown without a lot of overhead utility wires. You know, many of the new developments around the area, housing developments and so on, the utility lines are buried. Mm-hmm. They're underground, and it really does, you know, beautifies things, you know. Yeah.
It will certainly be a welcome improvement, I think, the whole way down Main Street on a couple of different levels. Number one, you know, it'll look nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so aesthetically, it'll be pleasing. Then number two, safety. You know, not only will the lighting be better, but I understand that the older light poles, they were, I don't know how old they were, but they are quote unquote old. So I think anytime age is a factor, safety will be a factor. So it'll certainly help in that regard too.
I also remember now talking with a member of City Council, I think it was Councilman Jeff Smith. They're going to be higher street lights like we have now. And then they're going to be lower ones,
mm-hmm.
Just above person level, so it'll light the sidewalks better. So I'll be anxious to see it when they get that new stuff done.
Yep.
The downtown will look different. I can remember when we talked a couple of months ago, I think maybe it was this spring, there were plans afoot for street art. Is that still being planned for sometime in the distant future?
Things are moving forward, albeit slowly, but the planning stages for that has been moving forward. Our organization actually has recently gotten a hold of Steve Haley from the Arts Center. He's the director at the Arts Center. I don't know if you know Steve.
Yes, I do know Steve. He's been on the program.
Yeah, I actually met with him last month. He was at our meeting to talk about this. He's expressed an interest in getting involved in this as well. So at this point in time, we're just trying to really pinpoint the properties where, this art project will go off. And these aren't huge murals. These are just kind of small, whimsical paintings that will use an aspect of the property itself, maybe a unique portion of the property to create some type of painting that, you know, from a distance, you know, they probably won't be real noticeable, but when you get up close, people will notice these kind of unique pieces of art. So we're excited to partner with the Arts Center, which our organization has multiple times over the years for various things, for this kind of cool project. We're excited about it. But I will say, if you're a property owner or a business owner, for that matter, on Main Street, and you think you might want your property to be involved here, at the very least, brainstorm. See if you can't figure something out. Let us know. Reach out to us on Facebook. Let us know where your property is, or if you have some photographs or something, if you have an idea, I'd be happy to look into it.
I'm anxious to see this come to fruition. I know there were some doubting Thomases whenever it was announced a couple of summers ago that the Butler County Historical Society was going to bring in these out-of-town mural painters and paint these murals on the sides of buildings downtown. And they came in, and in a matter of just days, what a transformation. I love these things.
So do I. So do I. And especially, you just talked about Pullman Standard a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
My favorite one is the Pullman Standard mural, which is on the older tier garage. So you can, you can see it. If you're walking into the government center, the courthouse, if you look to the right, you can see it on that portion of the tier garage. Now, my grandpa used to work at Pullman years ago, so that one kind of, it's a little special for me, and it's really hidden off the it's off the beaten path of Main Street, so to speak.
But yeah, some of them are kind of hidden gems. There's the one for the birthplace of the Jeep.
Yep,
North Street, West North Street, near in fact, right across the street from the new bus terminal.
Yes.
Where the bus is, the bus station downtown.
Is that the one that's behind what would be Natilli's Pizza Shop?
No, no. There's one there.
It's behind the bank. Yeah, it's behind the bank, yes. Yeah. Okay, yes.
There is one behind Natilli North Pizza Shop. I can't think of what that one is now.
City Easter eggs. If you're interested to see, go take a walk down Main Street and check it out.
And maybe by sometime next year, you'll be able to look at some of this street art, too. It adds character to a downtown.
Sure.
Sets it apart. Makes people smile.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think, ideally, I think people would be take pictures by these things. Anybody who visits the town might look, oh, this is cool. Mm-hmm. A unique portion of our city. Post it on social media, maybe it, and maybe it catches some legs.
Well, Butler downtown has certainly changed over the past few years. Now we have a brand new sparkling Marriott Spring Hill Suites Hotel. We have a second tier parking garage. It's kind of a hopping place to be these days, and continues to grow.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Another thing that'll be coming up, tip our own cap here, because the Butler Radio Group has been responsible for sponsoring and organizing the Spirit of Christmas Parade every year. And I know we have committees that are hard at work on that. Nobody wants to talk about Christmas when we're getting ready for Labor Day weekend, but the planning committee has been hard at work on Spirit of Christmas Parade, which actually comes right after Thanksgiving. It's
right.
The Saturday, 2 days after Thanksgiving. And that's a big deal for downtown.
Absolutely.
It's nice,
Do you know what year it is for that parade? It's been going on as long as I can remember.
It's over 50 years. Yeah. I would guess like 52 or something like that.
It's become an institution.
Here at the Butler Radio Group, we've been sponsoring it now for, I would say, 5, 6, 7 years. Mm-hmm. We switched it to a nighttime parade, which is kind of nice because all the floats are lit up and kind of nice.
I like that.
So that'll be coming up again as the official kickoff of the holiday season for downtown Butler and for the entire community.
Just welcome for me. I love Christmas. I would talk about Christmas all year long. Yeah. Doesn't bother me a bit.
Well, what else did I want to mention? There's a revolving loan fund that operates under the umbrella of the Butler Downtown Organization, right?
That's right. We the last time we spoke, we had recently approved a loan. So we will have enough money soon, certainly before the end of the year, to loan out again. So, I would encourage anybody who may, who is a Main Street and one block off in either direction, property owner or business owner who could use a low interest loan, get a hold of us, reach us on Facebook. We'll get you the proper paperwork to make an application and walk you through it there. The guidelines that were set forth in the fund that we need to keep a certain amount of money in the the principal account.
Mm-hmm.
And then as these loans get paid back, that grows, and then we'll reach the point where we're able to advertise to to loan out some more money, which I'm sure we will be getting to by the end of the year. I don't know the exact date, but certainly ripe for anybody who wants to put in an application to do so now, and then once there's enough money back in there, we'll be able to hit the ground running.
They're always looking for volunteers in the Butler Downtown Organization, and you can get details on that and contact the appropriate people on your Facebook page, right?
That's right. That's the best place to get a hold of us.
Mm-hmm. Matt McCune is the president of Butler Downtown. Good to see you, Matt.
All right, Dave. Thank you.
Thanks for the update.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you try to talk again before the holiday season gets here.
Great. Yeah. Look forward to it.
Must be close because I see pumpkin spice stuff everywhere.
Oh, so it's coming. It's coming.
We'll take a break. Please stick with us. We're looking forward to an interesting conversation with Jane Frazier, who is president of an organization, maybe not heard of this, it's the Stuttering Foundation of America, an organization founded back in the 1940s to call attention to and to help fund research for stuttering disorder. So we'll talk with Jane about that, about the incidence of stuttering and a new study that has just emerged that may be the clue to the cause of stuttering. So stick around. We'll be talking with Jane here on It's Your Turn on WISI in just a couple of minutes. We'll be right back. The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
Coming up, listeners, on the next segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR, I'm Dave Malarkey, and we're going to be chatting by telephone with our guest, Jane Frazier, who is the president of the Stuttering Foundation of America. Jane, nice to have you with us for a few minutes here today.
Thank you so much, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here.
We actually talked with Jane several years ago,
I do remember that. It was during the King's speech with Colin Firth.
That's right. And that
had to have been.
That came out in 2010, so that's like 9 years ago, I guess, that we spoke. The reason that I wanted to chat with you today, Jane, is first of all to give folks who maybe didn't hear us when we chatted 9 years ago.
Right.
But also to get an update on a new study about stuttering. So let's start from the beginning and make sure that all of our listeners are on the same page. First of all, can you define stuttering? Can you give us a thumbnail definition of just what we mean when we say stuttering?
Well, of course, stuttering is a communication disorder in which the flow of speech is broken, either by repetitions, repetitions like that, or prolongations, or complete stoppages like that. And, of course, that's for the person who stutters to all of a sudden not even be able to get a word out. It is very scary. It's been compared with coming up to an intersection with ice, putting the brakes on, and being totally out of control. And it's a tough disorder.
Tough and very often misunderstood, I would imagine.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about this new study that's come out. It had to do with, as I understand it, and this is above my pay grade, I'll assure you, but it involves studies with mice. Is that correct, Jane?
That's correct. It involves studies with the brains of mice, and because, you know, obviously a human, you're not going to go cutting into the brains of humans, although there are people who stutter who have given their bodies and their brains to research, and actually if they knew where to look, and now they do, it's the corpus callosum. It's kind of the glue, that the message center between the left and the right brains. Some of our speech, most of our speech originates in the left brain, the left hemisphere, but there is some of the speech that originates in the right, and what happens with this corpus callosum is that it transmits, it's kind of the go-between the two parts of the brain, and it is filled with white matter, and in that white matter are cells called astrocytes. And what this latest research has discovered is that there is a loss of astrocytes in the white matter of the mice who stutter. And, of course, your next question is going to be, how do you know that the mice are stuttering? Well, we do know. Dr. Dennis Drina, who headed this research, found the first three genes for stuttering. He implanted one of those into the brain of a mouse, and then that mouse, of course, reproduced, and all the baby mice also had this stuttering. Hmm. And how did they know that? They know that because they have ultrasonic frequency measuring equipment, which is also brand new at the NIH to study mice. And the ultrasonic utterings of those mice, instead of being just a solid squeak like that, was a squeak, 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 squeak like that. So it, in a sense, in its own way, it was stuttering. It wasn't a smooth, uninterrupted flow.
So,
isn't that fascinating?
It is. Yeah. It's incredible.
Just creating that mouse, of course, was already an event.
Well, researchers have known for some time that this disorder stems from problems in the circuits in the brain, circuits that control speech, but they just didn't understand how until this latest research. Done, you say, at the National Institutes of Health. Did I hear you correctly on that, Jane?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Dr. Drina at the NIH. And I think, you know, what's really exciting about this is it will lead to the identification of more genes. And the other thing, I think that people who stutter, in particular my own father stuttered, always thought it was his own fault. You know, we hear all sorts of myths. You didn't try hard enough. You're not as smart. A lot of myths. And I think, you know, what we know now is there is truly a physical cause behind stuttering. Does it mean you can be a good communicator? Does it mean you can't be? Absolutely not. You know, look at James Earl Jones. Look at Winston Churchill. So, you know, what is happening in their brains? My guess is that the plasticity of the brain, which is the one thing that gives hope to all of us, and that plasticity means that it finds other circuits. So the loss of astrocytes in one part of this white matter may be, there may be a new circuit that with therapy, sometimes with little children, without therapy, sometimes, you know, 80% of all children outgrow stuttering. So what's happening in that situation is that the brain does change its circuitry, and we see that in stroke, and it's definitely been published, and we know for a fact that people who lost speech with stroke can regain their speech. They can regain the use of their limbs with therapy. It's really quite miraculous what the brain does on its own.
You mentioned the research in this new study that's just out, so obviously finding the genes that involve stuttering, there's a genetic component here. Is it sometimes passed down from parent to child, a stuttering disorder?
Oh, absolutely. My dad stuttered. My uncle stuttered. Many members of my family stutter. I don't. Most of them have had early help and are very open about it, and as a result, they are not. It has not affected their lives the way it did my father's. But I think, you know, once you find the gene or genes, this also opens the door to pharmaceutical products. I mean, I think those of us that are in the real world, not the scientific world, don't realize that the pharmaceutical companies are always working on drugs that affect different genes. And so they have a battery of things that could be tried on various and sundry genes. The other thing that's interesting is these astrocytes, we're discovering more about them, and we're discovering that they're also found in other different diseases that are real diseases, that are life-threatening diseases, which obviously they are not in the case of stuttering.
Hmm. I know there's a tremendous amount of research going on with how the brain operates, and particles in the brain and so on. I've done a couple of programs about dementia, specifically Alzheimer's, and the incredible research that's going on there. Different sort, of course, from what we're talking about. Do you have any ballpark figures on the incidence of stuttering, Jane Frazier, on average, the number of Americans that do, or the percentage of the kids that do?
Well, of course, the percentage of kids is higher because there are those who outgrow it, but as adults, approximately 1% of the population. That would be approximately 3 million Americans, 70 million people worldwide who struggle with stuttering. So really, this is quite exciting research for those 70 million people.
We will take a short break. I have a few more questions for Jane Frazier, including a mention of some very well-known people who battled this disorder, stuttering. You're listening to It's Your Turn here on WISR. We'll be back after these words.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there starts here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Does your small business need to work more effectively and efficiently? Then you need Sir Speedy Printing. If you're in business, they can print your letterhead, order forms, business cards, posters, and even do your bulk mailing, which includes printing your direct mail piece. They are the local experts. They know the sizing requirements, formats, and guidelines, and can probably do a bulk mailing for less than you can. The next time you need to do a direct mailing, consider stopping at Sir Speedy Printing for a free, no-obligation quote. Their bulk mailing service can save you time and money while helping grow your customer base. Stop by Sir Speedy Printing, 229 South Main Street, Butler.
The conference season gets underway this Friday night for the Knock Knights, and we'll be there. Hi everyone, this is Scott Briggs, inviting you to join Dave Bacon and me. As the Knock Knights, coming off an impressive win over the Hampton Talbots, will take on a conference foe, the Blackhawk Cougars. It's Hall of Fame night in Saxonburg, with events starting at 6:30. We'll be on the air at 6:30 with head coach Brandon Mowry. 6:45, we're live at the stadium for the 7 o'clock kickoff. Knock football here in 2019, presented in part by the law firm of Dylan McCandless, King, Coulter, and Graham, Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers, the John Thrower Cement Corporation, Next Year Bank, Kelly's Restaurant on Main Street in Saxonburg, United Plate Glass in Butler, the law firm of Conlon and Tarker, Butler Health System, Troy Allen Chevrolet in Slippery Rock, and Troy Allen Buick in Katanning, District Attorney Rich Goldinger, and Slippery Rock University. It's Knock and Blackhawk this Friday night right here on WISR, WISR680.com, and as always, at the Trib Live High School Sports Network.
Welcome back. I'm Dave Malarkey. We're chatting on this segment of It's Your Turn here on WISR with Jane Frazier. Jane is the longtime president of the Stuttering Foundation of America. And we're talking specifically about the results of a new study that has given great hope to battling this disorder, stuttering. Our listeners might be surprised, Jane Frazier, at the well-known celebrities, public figures, who have overcome stuttering problems. You mentioned James Earl Jones with that magnificent voice that he has, Bruce Willis, Winston Churchill, actress Emily Blunt, golfer Ken Venturi, who after his playing career went on to a long broadcasting career with the CBS.
Right.
Who would have known that he had battled stuttering? What's the treatment, or what was the treatment for some of these individuals?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Each one seems to have found their own way, I won't say out of it. I think James Earl Jones, in his book, Voices, talks about his elementary school teacher who really had confidence in him, helped him read passages. You know, it's an interesting thing of stuttering. For some people, it could be related in some ways to word retrieval. So So when he's reading a script, when James Earl Jones is reading a script or he's on Broadway, the words, he knows the words by heart. Does that play a role? It has to play a role. I guess the same with Ken Venturi talked about golf strokes, that the rhythm, we know that rhythm does kind of play a role. The rhythm of the golf stroke, that he'd be out on the course by himself and he would talk as he hit the ball. So that's interesting. Robert Merrill, the opera singer, said that in his early years as a child working on his stuttering, would sing instead of talking. So, for example, if he wanted a cookie from his mother, he'd say, "I want a cookie." And just that ability to express himself gave him the self-confidence to keep talking. So, you know, it is important. We know that people who stutter who are in professions where they have to talk a lot do better than those who don't. And you have to understand that fear plays a role. And let me give you an analogy for that. If I ask you to walk the plank in the middle of a room, 2 feet wide, just to walk that plank, you probably wouldn't have any trouble. But if I lifted that plank 10 feet in the air and I said, "Well, Dave, you just walked that same plank, same legs, same muscles, you just walked that plank," you probably wouldn't be able to do it. That's the effect of fear. So the same messages are coming from the brain. The brain is saying, "Okay, Dave, walk that plank," and the leg muscles haven't changed, and yet look at the effect that fear might have on you. Well, the same thing if a person who stutters begins to fear situations because they've gone like that in the past, then that fear builds up. "Oh, my goodness, what if I walk into my classroom and I do that again? Everybody's going to laugh at me. They're going to think I'm dumb." And so this whole scenario of fear builds up. So one of the really important things, and fear and stress and fear do not cause stuttering, but you see where I'm headed with that. They don't cause you to fall off that plank either, but they definitely play a role in overcoming this problem.
Fascinating analogy, and I know exactly what you're talking about with the walking the plank story. I'm acquainted with an individual here in our particular area of Western Pennsylvania. He's a pretty well-known singer, but he stutters significantly when he talks, but not when he sings. You mentioned Robert Merrill. Is this relatively common, this phenomenon?
Oh, absolutely. And I think people need to know that singing originates in a different part of the brain. And also, there's not this, you know, speech requires, it's been said, 45,000 neuromuscular events per second to hear what you've heard and then come back with a response. When you're singing, you're singing. You know the words by heart. There's no message that you have to come up with. So you see where I'm headed with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a totally different process. And people are always amazed by that. They say, "Oh, well, when he sings, he never stutters. And then when he starts to talk, it's really tough for him." So that's really an easy answer to that one. If all the questions were that easy, it would be great.
I want to talk for a moment about that film that we mentioned at the very beginning of our conversation, The King's Speech. And yeah, it's quite a few years ago now. It was 9 years ago, as a matter of fact. But it's the story of Prince Albert. This is a true story, by the way. It's a great film starring Colin Firth, Jeffrey Rush, some others. But Prince Albert never expected to be the King of England. He had a severe stutter. Actually, they call it a stammer in Britain, do they not, Jeff?
That's correct. Yeah, yes, they do.
Stammer.
No different.
Yeah, same thing, yeah. Just a different name.
Absolutely.
But he was a prince, and so, okay, he had this problem all of his life. But suddenly his brother, who was King Edward, abdicated to marry the American divorcee Wallis Simpson, and Prince Albert was suddenly elevated to be king. He became King George. Well, all of this happened just as World War II was beginning. And Adolf Hitler, when, you know, horrific person, but, you know, a great speaker. And there were fears throughout Great Britain that because the new king just could not speak very well, that it was going to be a real problem in keeping the British morale up during the early years of the war. And they brought in, I believe it was the an Australian man. And this actually happened, right?
That's correct. Lionel Logue, yes.
And he helped the king get control of his stammer. Now, he had him do exercises and breathing things and stuff like that. Is that still used, Jane Fraser?
Well, there's been a lot of critique about, you know, what helped and what didn't. I do believe that working with him, working on his speech, giving him the confidence, showing him the situations where he was able to speak, you know, along the lines that I was talking about with James Earl Jones and knowing everything by heart. I'm sure in a conversational situation, King George probably had a lot of difficulty speaking. But when he spoke before the public with that dreaded radio microphone in front of him, you know that he and Logue worked on what he was going to say. If he feared a particular word, they probably found a synonym that he could get through. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, one of the anecdotes that Logue had told was that the king did stammer that very famous speech that he gave at the outbreak of World War II, and he smiled at Logue after his speech, and he said, "Well, I threw one little stammer in on purpose because I didn't want you to think it wasn't me. I wanted people to know it was really me speaking." So I think, you know, when he was able to control the situation, that speech therapy did help him a lot because he practiced, because he, you know, certainly airflow does make a difference. It's not the only thing. There are many different parameters that are worked on with speech. And so there are schools of thought that say, oh, all you have to do is worry about the airflow and take a deep breath. But certainly, knowing about airflow, realizing what's going on with your speech mechanism is helpful. And, you know, you don't think about it, but most people who stutter, unless they've had therapy, they just think it's something happening to them. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that it's something they're doing. And, Dr. Dean Williams at University of Iowa used to say to the children he worked with, this is something you're doing. This is not coming from somewhere else. So we're going to work on these words. We're going to work on how you speak. And I think it just, you know, it demystifies it. I mean, their children, one child said to him, "There's a rock down there, and I can't get it out." And what Dr. Williams did was, you don't ever tell a child there isn't a rock. You just say, well, let's just see what we can do about that.
Wow, great therapy.
Very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. That movie, just talking about it again, I actually went out after I saw that movie in a theater. As soon as it became available on DVD, I went out and got a copy because it's one of the best movies I've seen in the last 20 years, The King's Speech. Listen,
well, that wonderful company put our public service ad on the front of it.
Uh-huh.
So we're still hearing from people that bought the DVD that are finding the Stuttering Foundation that way. But I have to say that even members of my own family, after watching that film, said, "Jane, we had no idea Uncle Malcolm was going through this. We didn't understand how tough this problem has been for him all his life."
A couple of final questions here. I've got to let you go. But school year, what about parents who are concerned? What should they do if their child begins to stutter, even preschool or perhaps having a problem in school? Because for a kid, you know, especially a young kid, that could be a disaster. What should a parent do?
Well, what we didn't have 9 years ago, and we do now, is a 15-minute film on our website, free, stutteringhelphelp.org. If you go to that website, it's called 7 Tips for Helping the Child Who Stutters. And if parents watch that, it gives them ways to immediately help the child. And, you know, some of the tips are, a simple one is asking fewer questions. So instead of saying, what did you have for lunch today, say, I wonder what you had for lunch. That takes all the time pressure out of the question. Instead of, what color is that, I wonder what color that is. Hmm. I think we don't realize that parents of young children, I hear that in the supermarket, what is that? You know, tell me what that is. Just endless questions. And so that's one way. I think another is to take just 5 minutes a day with that child, talking about what the child wants to talk about. You know, I think kids who stutter can become little tyrants. I think it's important to maintain discipline. Parents should not think, first of all, we know that parents don't cause stuttering. So if a child is stuttering somewhat and says, Mommy, 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 I want, and you're in the middle of something, it's really important to say, I want to hear what you have to say, and give me 5 minutes, I'm finishing what I'm doing, and we'll sit down and talk about it. Mm. So those are just a few of the tips you'll get on that. And it's four specialists, world renowned for their work with preschoolers who stutter.
15-minute video. What's that website again, Jane, where you can find that?
I'll spell it out. It's stutteringhelp, stutteringhelp.org.
Jane Frazier is president of the Stuttering Foundation of America. By the way, when was the foundation formed, and who did it?
Well, it was my father, so that's why I'm familiar with it. He founded it in 1947. He endowed it so that we today have an endowment that enables us to keep this website up to date. And so we're 71 years old this year, and out there to help everybody in every way we can, young people, adults who stutter, training therapists, bringing scientists together, you name it, we're trying to do it.
Well, I think it's important that we talk about it, especially with kids. You know, we have bullying problems these days. Everybody knows that at times people have made fun of a stutterer. Think of Porky Pig, folks, you know, and in the cartoons, wow. Porky Pig, the whole shtick to make fun of him was because he stuttered, so... We don't want that to happen to kids these days, that's for sure. Jane Frazier.
No, we don't.
Frazier, nice to talk with you again. Thanks so much. You've been very informative. Great to hear the news about this new study. Thanks for being with us.
Good to talk to you, Dave. Let's not wait 9 years again.
Okay, it's a deal.
Thanks. Thank you.
Sure, bye-bye.
When game day arrives, we take you with us to every stadium.
Touchdown, Pittsburgh! You've got to be here!
This is Bill Hillgrove. Join me along with Tunch Ilkin, Craig Wolfley, and Missy Matthews as we bring you Steelers football with the pregame interviews, the game itself, and postgame analysis. No one covers the black and gold like the Pittsburgh Steelers Football Network.
The Pittsburgh Steelers play their final preseason game this Thursday night in Carolina against the Panthers. We'll have all the action on WISR 680 AM. Pregame starting at 5:30, kickoff at 7:30. Pittsburgh Steelers football brought to you in part by Aqua Solutions, Schneider 1-Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, Fairground Market, Armco Credit Union, and attorney Michael Pater. Hi, this is Pat Parker reminding you that you can tune to WISR 680 AM radio Saturdays after the CBS News at 10 AM for the phone party and audio auction. You can buy, sell, and trade items or mention garage or yard sales. You will also have the opportunity to bid on certificates from restaurants and other businesses and tickets from area locations. The phone number to keep in mind is 724-283-2525. That's 724-283-2525 for the phone party and audio auction on Saturdays after the 10 a.m. CBS News.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Come on!